today on Real Radio.
Listen, our God is the only God, and all of the gods of the pagans, our God is the God who is the one true God. And one of his hallmarks is that he announces in advance what's going to happen. He's the prophetic God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack presents a scriptural lesson on something that's probably on a lot of our minds right now, since we've once again come to the end of yet another year. It's the topic of time. Now, when we take the time to thank our Maker and Provider for all of His blessings, do we also thank Him for the time that we have? Remember, He is the author and maker of time. Exactly how does the Creator use time in the spiritual growth of His people? And how does He orchestrate events, great and small, throughout all of time? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, taking a look at these questions in a lesson quite simply called, This Time.
And we're going to look at what that means. Romans 13:11, the Bible tells us, knowing the time. That word is pregnant with meaning, discerning, understanding, dealing with, embracing the time, that now it is high time that we awake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And all God's people said, that is absolutely a fact. We are now closer to the fact of inheriting our full salvation. That is, we are closer to Christ today than we've never or ever been before, ever. No matter how young you might be today, you are now 1 year and 1 day closer to the inheritance of heaven and seeing your absolute salvation realized. And so Paul the Apostle tells the church at Rome, he tells all those believing Italians there in Italy, that now's the time. He said that 2,000 years ago. And if you said it 2,000 years ago, how close are we regarding the things of God and the things that concern God? This time is that title in which we've picked this morning, because listen, what comes to your mind when I say this time? Two little words when I think about this time, and I have dot, 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 this time what? This time fill in the blank. This time, for example, we might say things like this. This time I'm not going to turn left. I'm going to turn right. I've made that mistake before. This time we might say that I'm going to make sure that I stay on the straight and narrow path. We might say that this time I know exactly what to do when that time comes again. The Bible is very keen on time and timing. The Bible teaches us that it's God who establishes, listen, the passing of time. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ himself is the governor of time and eternity. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old. God says remember, that's a time statement. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. So regarding time, you and I are to insert the fact that the Lord, he is God, he's upon the throne, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, God is dwelling beyond time. And from ancient times, things that have not yet come to pass, saying, this is my counsel. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isn't that awesome words? I love when God speaks like that. I'm God. I'm the governor of time. I know what's coming, and I've declared what's coming from ancient times. Our God, listen, our God is the only God, and all of the gods of the pagans, our God is the God who is the one true God, and one of his hallmarks is that he announces in advance what's going to happen. He's the prophetic God. Our God can tell the future with perfect detail. There's no other religious writings in the history of the world, none, that predict the future as the Bible. We all know this verse. If you've ever been to a funeral, I don't know why it seems to be a funeral verse. It's not a funeral verse. It's a living verse for the living. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Regarding this time, think of this. There is a time for everything, says the Bible. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born. I believe it's that time. a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. I believe it's a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. I believe it's a time to heal. A time to tear down. I believe it's a time to tear down. And it's a time to build up. A time to weep. I think it's a time to weep as a nation, don't you think? And a time to laugh. A time to mourn. I believe it's that time. And a time to dance. I'll wait for heaven to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. I believe it's a time to gather them as we speak of stones being God's people. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. I believe that we enter this new year as a time to refrain from things that so easily beset us. It is a time to search, and I believe it's that time now, and a time to give up. A time to keep or hold dear. I believe it's that time. And a time to throw away. A time to tear. I think it's that time now. And a time to mend. A time to be silent. And a time to speak. I believe it's the year to speak. A time to love. It's always the time to love, is it not? And a time to hate. The word hate means to hate unrighteousness and evil, though that is true. The time for that is now. A time for war, and I believe that's upon us. And a time for peace. We pray for Christ's return. This time, when I speak of this title, I'm talking about a time of memorial. I'm talking about a time of commemoration, a time of devotion, a time of dedication as Christians today. This message, as God's put it upon my heart, for me is both encouraging and convicting. In the Bible, when we talk about time, time is a very serious thing. We read about the patriarchs of our faith, and time was a very important issue to them. You and I live in a culture, listen carefully, we are victims. We are victims of an age that we ourselves have imposed upon us. We have become victims of our own demise and our own planning. And what I mean by that is this. You and I have allowed, both in our lives, maybe our parents did some of this to us, we're doing it to our kids, that endurance is something of the past. That struggle, difficulty, hardship is something for other people. You and I have been conditioned that if we have to drive through that fast food chain restaurant, isn't that fast food restaurant? What a funny thing. Fast food restaurant. There is no such thing as a fast food restaurant. A restaurant is where you sit and relax and eat, or you drive through it. We drive through, and now there's timers, and it says, if you don't get your food within 3 minutes, it's going to be free. We are conditioned now that if we don't have enough time, we can do this thing and download it immediately, or we can buy it this way, or we can get it. What's the fastest way? I can get it overnight, rush, order, now, because time is such a big issue. And so we've developed this way of thinking that if we have to wait for something, then that's for somebody else. I'm not going to wait for anything, is the way that our nation thinks these days. And I think the church thinks like this these days. Wait. We have to wait to develop as a Christian. We have to wait as we grow. The very word to grow implies that it takes time. And we're giving up. Too many people are giving up. And in the year that is upon us now, it is going to be a year of trying, of endurance, of patience. It's going to be a time of, I believe, great spiritual growth because God is going to be doing a deep work within each and every one of us. I believe it. I believe that God has been showing us, and in a sense, I couldn't wait to get to this year because I believe what God is going to be doing in this church, in your life, and in America, and the Christians in America, is a deep, strong work that is going to last. And it's not going to be fluff. It's not going to be easy believism. It's not going to be seeker friendly. It's not going to be emergent. It is going to be discipleship by the Holy Spirit to grow in the grace and knowledge of the things of God. And when we talk about time, we talk about pillars, we talk about memorials, we talk about altars being built. That's why when you read in your Bibles and you start today, your first reading of your 1-year Bible, You're going to be reading a lot in the book of Genesis and Exodus, how many times our patriarchs came to a place and they built an altar and they worshiped God. Or they put stones one atop another in the book of Joshua, for example, and they praised the Lord and they marked the memorial, and they often return to those points where they first encountered God. This is going to be a tremendous year. I don't care what happens, it is going to be an awesome year if we stay close to Jesus. God is on the move. Christ is going to do great things. And you and I, our year will be defined either great or not so great, depending upon how close we stayed to Christ. You want to have a great year? Who does not want to have a great year? I'm telling you right now, you want to have a great year? I can guarantee you a great year. If you call right now, 1-800. No, I'm kidding. You want to have a great year? Stay close to Jesus. Amen. You will have a great year. Say, well, Pastor, what is it going to look like? That's the best part about it. I don't know. Doesn't that drive us crazy? We want to know. All month long, this last December, all month long, going through the checkout stand at the cash registers, all of these ridiculous, I almost said stupid, but I had a little kid rebuke me the other day for saying the word stupid. I'm not supposed to say that word. These ridiculous predictions of what's supposed to happen in this next year. And people are buying it. Oh my goodness, Elvis is going to come back this year. How long have you been reading that Elvis is going to return? Okay, a man will have a baby. A man will have a baby this year. All this stuff, and people buy it and read it. Read the Bible. Watch what's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know this. If I stay close to Jesus, it's going to be good. The Bible says, then Jacob vowed a vow saying, Genesis 28, 22, that at this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you, Lord. Genesis 28, 22. He built up pillars as a memorial to God. And when you and I talk about an altar, a pillar, a monument, we're talking about a place of meeting with God. And I'm asking you this morning that you would make this year a year of monument to God. Not of some ancient memorial of what was. We'll talk about this in a second. But what will be. And everywhere you and I go, listen. Everywhere you and I go this year, whatever you and I say out of our mouths, whatever we do as believers, this is what's fun. We will not be building stones of altars. We will not be erecting pillars or sacrificial points like they did in the old times. We will not do that. You want to know why? We don't have to do that. Wherever you and I go, whatever you and I do, whatever you and I say, because we are Christians and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, everywhere we go, we will be establishing monuments and memorials and pillars because we are believers in Him. You will have memorial moments. You're going to have pillar experiences. You are going to experience altar building on your vacation, at your work, in a location and in a place and time you had no idea. You might take a drive, you might take a walk, you might go someplace, and here's the awesome thing about it. Are you listening, church? You are going to be encountering your God. He is going to intervene some way in your life. It might be a sickness, it might be a word, it could be an accident, it could be a blessing, it could be something. And right in that moment, there's going to be the opportunity for you to establish that moment, that point, that news as a monument to God. You must understand this. There are people who were here a year ago in this church who are no longer with us. They've gone home to see Jesus. Babies have been born. A lot of babies have been born. Things change. This time last year, let your mind go back. This time last year, and as you go back in the Rolodex of your mind, think of this. Psalm 34, 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We are here 1 year after, listen, last year. 365 days have come and gone, and things have happened. Things have come into your life. What is your story? Where are you at? 1 year ago, what was going on in your life, and what news do you have now? Are you being ravaged by that news? Are you saying, this is my calling of God? God knows everything, and this is my time to have a monument, a memorial erected unto the Lord. None of this is an accident. He knows it all. All of our fears, he will deliver us from them. Every one of them. Some are bigger, some are smaller, some are taller, some are shorter. Do you understand it doesn't matter to God? He will deliver the believer who's following him. Dear church, draw close to Jesus like you've never drawn before. This time last year, our love for God was, and I have a question mark. Our love for God was, and I have a plus sign or a minus sign. Your love for God, this time last year, 365 days ago, was your love hotter for God than it is now? Or is your love for God hotter now than it was then? I can say thank you, God, by his mercy, because I'm a bum. My love for God now is hotter now than it was this time last year. I have to tell you, as a pastor, do you understand the terror? If I could not confess that this morning, I would must resign. Because how can I lead you anywhere if I'm not being led by him? You say, well, you go, pastor, you go. Wait a minute. Do you have a husband? Do you have a wife? Do you have kids? Do you have single friends? Where are you leading them? Is your heart more in love with God now than it was 365 days ago? That's our prayer. May that intensify. This time last year, our faith in God, was it greater or was it smaller? And in this last year, what's happened to our faith? Discipleship's a funny thing. You can buy 1,000 books or more on discipleship. There's only one book on discipleship. It's the Bible. If you read it and do it, you will be discipled by the Holy Spirit, and those who are being discipled by the Holy Spirit will disciple you, and it's called fellowship, and you move along together. Should we have a grand discipleship program? Yeah, I don't know, maybe so. As long as it's biblically rooted, of course, yes, absolutely. But listen, while you sit here and hear the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you're being discipled. It's what you and I hear that we get up and we move from this place and put into action by experience is discipleship. And compared to our faith of last year to now, has our faith grown or has it waned? Let me tell you, I can give you a little hint, a clue right now. Faith that is growing is a faith that most often does not see itself as having grown. Faith that has grown most often sees itself, imagine with me, as it were a soldier coming out of a battle, his fatigues are torn, his rifle is filthy and steaming hot from being used, his knife, his bayonet is chipped, his helmet is muddy, his face has got scars on it. That's what faith looks like coming out of a battle that it's to be involved in. Faith looks like that. Faith is not something that's displayed in the storefront window. That's called a facade or faux. You and I will never know if we have true faith unless we're brought in that crucible of tests. And real faith looks like a well-seasoned soldier. And we want to stop and evaluate, where's my faith compared to last year? And that faith, you may not see it, but let me tell you the beautiful thing about faith is other people see it in you. You don't see the growth that's going on in you until somebody comes up to you and says, man, you know what? I've been watching you this year. I've been listening to you this year. I watched what happened in your home this year, or that trial that came to you, or that even, listen. Even that silly decision that you made that almost ruined your family, but you hung on and you turned it around and you recovered from it, and now I've seen your faith in action. Christian, my prayer, you may not want to ever attend this church again after this service today. I am praying fervently and fasting that every one of us who name the name of Jesus, our faith grows this year like never before. And that means difficulty. You say, Pastor, I'm not coming back. It's fine with me. It's fine with me. If we have 12 people in this church that are devoted in our absolute weakness and frailty to bow to the living God who is all powerful and bold, watch what happens. 12 people in a giant sanctuary will look pretty funny, but it will turn the world right side up. Faith. This time last year, our hope in God was what? Our hope in God was great or not so great? I find it interesting because, watch this, love for God gets me into battles where my faith is developed. And then when I see that going on, my hope is made buoyant because he delivers me through all my troubles. And I got troubles. You got troubles? If you don't have troubles, come with us. Troubles, hope, God's amazing, never failing hope is our place of rest. But last Friday, the last Friday of the year, I felt my heart move to say to the few of us, let's do this. And we came up on the stage. We stood here in the dark in the night. And we dedicated every worship leader on this stage, the drums, we dedicated the drums to God for this next year. You say, I don't like the drums. I didn't ask you if you liked the drums or not. God loves drums, and we dedicated them to God. All of these foot pedal things, these guitar people, I know, for example, my daughter will stand over here and play bass. We dedicated her to God. Other bass players, think that God has blessed this church. We've got drummers in line, bass players in line. We've got lead guitarists in line. We've dedicated them to God. Singers, we dedicated them to God. Choir, we dedicated them to God. Piano players, keyboard players, dedicated them to God, asking God to make them holy vessels. And if they were not holy, not allow them to make it to the stage. And then we prayed, we held out our hands and we prayed for this section. I'm not kidding. Every seat, every person who will occupy, you are sitting here now. You've already been prayed for the year ahead of us. And we said, God, make them holy, make them pure, make them radical for Jesus. Make them, Lord, unlike this world. And we went all across that section, midsection, this section, side section. We lifted up our hands and we prayed and dedicated this place and you to the Lord to be useful to God and to dedicate our efforts to the Lord. And by doing that, we're building an altar.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study simply called This Time. It's a special presentation we're bringing your way here on Real Radio that takes a look at the biblical worldview of time. Because, of course, we've once again come to the end of yet another year. Again, the name of this lesson, This Time. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack resumes his series through 1 Corinthians. Meanwhile, don't forget to get on board with a whole bunch of other Real Radio listeners who are taking part in the one-year Bible. Now, our offer does still stand. For your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you a copy of the one-year Bible. Now, the one-year Bible is designed in such a way that you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year in as little as 15 minutes a day. It's real convenient and real easy. So whether you call, click, or write, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio and ask for our Book of the Month by name, the one-year Bible. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner that says the one-year Bible, that's realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.